The Ballad of Heartwork is a new series from The Heart is a Dungeon. Most of the story will be whimsical in nature, with moments of fear or sadness. Please take care of yourself and check the content warnings for each episode. And thank you so much for listening.
We see the end of the story. Not our story, but the story nonetheless. We see a world empty of all sentient life and the ruin of the largest city that anyone has ever dreamed. There is a long unkept promise, there is a name yet to be read aloud, and there is you. Not a god, not a mortal, but more of an idea. More of a season than an angel, and more like a star than a monster. You are either all that is left, or you are the beginning of something new. When we turn your page and begin to read, where do we find you in this broken world, and what do we see when we close our eyes and see you?
Crawling step by step, hands grasping, you see a figure composed of jagged, translucent glass and flowing molten sand. An overall humanoid form, but somewhat erratic, with sharp, fragmented edges that seem to splinter and reform constantly. My head's an indistinct shape, almost featureless except for faint indentations where eyes might be. And these eyes glow, slits of orange like embers. And a face, if you could even call it that, constantly shifts like fractured glass trying to reassemble into something coherent but never quite succeeding. Where a mouth should be, there are glowing cracks that spread outwards. I am Ira, the fracture made flesh. And I've come to this place, as many others have, to shape what must be shaped. Mine is rage. Mine is the boiling core of unfairness torn from every throat too hoarse to scream. And here, within this mountain, I will build it. I will give it form. I will give it purpose. As my hands grasp towards deep black stone, this shifting form moves from a humanoid into almost what looks like a blade, and then back to the humanoid. There's a rasp that comes from this cracked mouth as I grab for air, which is strange. I've never taken in air before, but it feels like it's something that I need in this moment. Air to fill lungs. Air to pass through vocal cords that are ready to scream. And I bring myself onto the rock, leaving magma behind. Stand up on two jagged feet and look around at the space that I find myself in. It feels primordial, like the beginning of everything, or maybe the end? It's hard to tell. I look for the small things, the downtrodden, the small flowers that are crushed underfoot when they were grasping for life, the people that are cast aside, the landscapes that are destroyed for no reason other than greed. I look for many things, but it always starts small.
The bones are legion, as though every name was wiped at the same time. Buried in volcanic rock, in tragedy, in crimes against nature and gods and one another. Scattered between them, between hands clenched or bodies pressed, at the end, you see the bright sparkle of stones and of gems, a magic that only exists as a tribute, if only for the last time.
There isn't any chaos here. Only intention. Only fire. I collect every moment that someone was silenced. Every stolen chance. Every quiet act of cruelty. I feel that. I feel you. And I will reach out and take any gems, hold them within my ever-shifting hands, and allow it to melt within the heat of my hand, and feel that pain deeply within my chest. I think I would begin to wander, and drawn away from the darkness of the black of the stone here within the base of this volcano, and head towards the green, heading towards where there may be signs of life, because where there's signs of life, there's signs of suffering. And we just can't have that. I shift in and out of being. I have this asymmetrical torso that, if you were to look closely upon it, you would see that it's made of jagged panes of glass with gaps that expose a core of swirling molten sand. And that molten material pulses, almost like the rhythm of a heartbeat. And any time I notice anything small that induces a feeling of anger within me, watch as it glows brighter. And whenever it does, cracks spiderweb across the surface, leaking trails of sand behind me as I walk. And these solidify as they cool into faint, glassy fragments, leaving behind the weapons that some might need. I have these long, uneven arms protruding from what one might call forearms and shoulders, and occasionally my hands dissolve into more of these sharp, light blades or jagged spikes before reforming back into vaguely humanoid hands. Where I am interesting to look at is from a colour perspective. You would think that someone who manifests as glass or sand might have vibrant oranges, reds and golds, but I'm almost completely translucent, shifting like some form of liquid fire. It's quite the sight.
As you are moving into this green, you hear the calm song of creatures, the violent song of hunger and survival. But not evil, no cruelty. What is the world for you when there is no intentional injustice being carried out within it?
I think, considering this, I will look towards a hawthorn bush and see a larder, small animals, mice, small birds, maybe a centipede or two, stored upon a butcher bird's larder. And I look at it and I think deeply. Violence begets violence, but in this case, this is something to sustain. And sustaining does not mean that individuals can completely avoid any level of violence. And I feel that this particular circumstance sums up the difficulty of understanding justice and injustice. It's not an easy job, and I don't take it lightly.
The animals here have changed. An additional ear, one less eye, a limp, a withered paw. And you reach a miracle, a neon green pool of sludge, liquid, warm. There are barrels open and cracked, bleeding out as this has risen into the wood around it, like a tide from an era that was more cruel.
I look at my own reflection within this green liquid. I scare myself. I place one of my hands into the water and watch as my hand disintegrates. I feel nothing. I watch as it reforms. The dull humanoid hand returns. And I think, if this can do this to me, what has it done to others? Who did this? Why have they left it like this? What suffering has this caused? And who is going to pay the price?
After a time, you find a unfinished work. As though they never finished burying them, as though there were too many. Dirt and soil has collapsed into it, but you can hear the silent cry of these stories, hidden in the ground, directly outside of a destroyed industrial building. And you can see shadows, like a half-life, gathering of these transparent forms, looking down, waiting, always and forever, mutated and waiting.
I call out, unexpecting of an answer. What happened here? And not hearing any sort of response, I understand there's a deep sadness. I think back to those bones I found in the earth. Did you all know them? Who did this? There's no memory of this. It's unfair. I look at the individuals that are mutated. I look at those who have lost limbs. I think of my hand as it melted in the sand. And how I felt nothing. Did they all feel that? No. Surely they felt more. I reach my hands down into the earth once again and try to build. I want to create a memory for all those lost in whatever it was that happened here. So that if others arrive, they might also know. I got 2 4s, and I have a +2 to build. I am going to choose, you add to the world and make it taller, larger, more vast. And as I sink my hands into the earth, I begin to cry. And these tears falling from my face form into glass shards before they reach the ground. And my hands sunk into the earth start to release glass into the earth itself, building what looks almost like a cornucopia that emerges from the soil, jagged in spaces, somewhat erratic, shifting. I look upon it as it grows and think, is this a self-portrait? Am I embodying my own feelings into the structure? No, I wouldn't be so vain, would I? And as it grows, 40, 50, 60 feet, I'll call out to the dead that gather in this space. Rest here and tell your story. Don't let anyone forget it.
As they pass you by, they see their reflection in your surface. It only took a bit of rage for them to remember who they are. And they move on to a place now prepared. We see smoke clearing, the sounds of battle fading, and in the background, the bone-to-bone click of dice as we look to one another here around this table surrounding where our story took place. Our imagination easily gets the best of us because we use Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. They also offer downloadable model files for users to 3D print their unique designs at home for when reinforcements are certainly needed. Hero Forge is adding new items to the catalog every week so that the tavern will always have that mysterious guest. And with subscriptions starting at just $3.99, you'll have everything you need with Hero Forge at heroforge.com. I love DieRPG. I'm a big concepts queer and I've been lucky enough to play it for hours on end. Want to jump into a video game? It's your system for that. Sway with me and listen to this for a wink. Imagine your character's pulled into a massive dungeon that reaches into places unknown, and over time that dungeon changes, shifting through different eras of role-playing games and highlighting themes from familiar favorites. Now here is where it gets crazy. There are mechanics for when your PCs leave the fantasy world and return to their modern lives, the decisions they must make, the dangers that lurk away from the dice and the dream. Die Meta Dungeon, this beautiful game from Roan, Rook, and Decker, will be on BackerKit beginning this April, and just maybe, the real dungeon was the hobby we made along the way. Hey there, Sky Darling. Why don't you set your broken heart down and let me tell you about Orbital Blues Month. This beloved and fantastic game from Soul Muppet is truly the hero that we deserve, as they are blessing us with even more content from some of the most wanted outlaws in the Orbital Blues third-party publishing space. From new adventures and factions to mechanics and audio dramas, the universe will never feel more alive or groovy. Orbital Blues Month is a group collaboration on BackerKit launching April 1st. And if you back multiple projects, there's even a limited edition cassette you can get your grubby swan song hands on. Orbital Blues is one of the most streamlined and replayable beautiful systems out there, and it's about time it had a month all to its own.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Welcome to My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon.
Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To Death Metal Viking Cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to... horny snowman?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's snake eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
If you would look up, you see a slightly cloudy day. Warm, slight breeze. But one cloud seems to be getting a little bit closer. A little bit faster than you would expect a cloud to move. As it enters atmosphere, there is a flash of light, almost like sunshine is radiating directly from this cloud. It starts to slow as it approaches the ground, and a parachute of moss opens, raining down petals from roses, daisies, sunflowers. And with a gentle poof, you see the tiniest, cutest little fluffy dog you've ever seen. She noses around the ground a little, trying to find purpose, where she should go next. This world is a clean slate. There's not much in the way of what we would consider intelligent life, but there is plenty of love to go around. I am comfort. I am a safe haven for those who are lost. I am unconditional love received. And looking around this meadow, I see plenty of love to go around. There's little rabbits who are snuggled together in their burrows. There are birds singing, trying to find their loved ones to call them home. This meadow has enough. I must go elsewhere and find someone who needs me.
The rabbits give you and your rainbow harness some space, but they are not afraid. They are bigger than you. In the distance, you see a desert stretched out endlessly, barren and brown. An old windmill is the only shape on the horizon, collapsed and caved in on itself, right at the border of the dry land. An old expired well and the metal frame of a cart are all that decorate the yard.
The structure could use some love. I will venture over to the structure, see if there's maybe not anybody around who could use my help, but the structure itself could use some care. I will trot along this never-ending desert until I arrive at this heap. Nothing has moved, but I will move it. I'm not as interested in the windmill as I am this well. I will scurry on over to the well, hop in the bucket, and take a ride down.
It descends further than you'd expect. The water has been gone for quite some time, and you land in only a few inches of it, solid rock slab visible beneath a thin layer of liquid. There is an opening through the rock right there. It is small, but a puppy with a harness made of rainbows could possibly fit through there. You step through and into a miracle, a geode, a hidden cavern of blue and purple and crystal. Beside it, you see what at one point was the home of a long-forgotten stranger, a bed and a table, long collapsed under their own weight, and a lone skeleton laying near all of it, also long collapsed under their own weight.
I have taken many forms before. I have been the smell of curry dumplings and sticky rice on the wind, the memory of pretend fights with siblings long gone, a blanket taken out of the dryer to warm both the body and the soul. I see this skeleton alone and let out a little whine. Nobody should be alone. So I will, even though it may no longer have a need, I will go over and comfort it. I will lay it to rest. And once they are at peace, I feel I've done my job. And I will try to find a new way out back into the sun. This world is new. While there may not be anybody here to receive love now, there certainly will be in the years to come, whether that be in a couple of months, a couple of years, a couple of millennia. However long it takes, I will be here. I will continue to search. No rest for the weary. But when somebody needs me, and they will need me, I'll be there. And though time comes for us all, as it has come for this world, I will always come back. For the sake of tomorrow, I will add a way to find me, for everyone needs a little love. I will create the smell of home, whether that be fresh baked cookies or perhaps something a little musty, but it will remind you of home. I kind of want to do feel.
We're not going to talk about that. I did.
I rolled a 1 and a 3. And with a modifier of +3, it is out of my hands. I take my little paws and I dig a hole into the earth in hopes of finding buried treasure. Maybe a bone, maybe a long-lost stick. But I keep digging until I find what I need. Maybe I don't find what I need. I don't think I find what I need.
In this work, the scent to be created, to draw those who need you to you through all of this history. But what goes wrong here is that this scent will also make some afraid of you. not as though you are a monster, but as though they do not feel like they deserve it. Though you pursue them so innocently, they run, they hide, they turn away from unconditional love being received. That does not mean that love will not find them, but it may take longer than expected. When two stars gather, a work must be. We see a woodland near a lake, long burnt down from a lightning strike, but trying to grow again, slowly.
I think Ira will look towards the dog and say, this is a new form for you.
The dog will cock its head to the side and a little question mark made of clouds appears over its head.
Yeah, I'm wondering what happened here too.
The dog approaches this translucent figure and presents its belly and wiggles around.
Ira will look down towards the dog, puzzled, and then goes down to one knee. And the hands will change from the kind of blunt like shape into that more of slightly sharpened fingernails and just start to scratch.
The dog is pleased. But there is work to be done.
I'm looking at the destruction. And my thoughts move towards the cycle that destruction has between death, rebirth, growth, and death once again. And it feels like this space is missing one part of that. And I think it's missing hope. I look towards the dog. I think you have a part to play here. This world deserves a world that is worthy of hope and love. I think you can help.
A little heart appears over the dog's head.
I think I'm gonna go big and go for believe. Which I have a +1 modifier to, so we shall see. Well, that is a 6.
Dear listeners, once again, the believe roll is the only move that is a total failure with any roll under 10. You change nothing. You watch. You miss your chance for a miracle. You do create the core of this seed, though, which love will now roll to add to.
Love to roll for the second layer of this. This seed is not fully realized yet. It needs time, and it needs time to grow. That's what we're rolling. We're gonna roll to grow with the seeds of hope and change.
Ooh, I'm gonna feel really bad if I miss this. Okay. That is double sixes with a plus two for a 14. I am creating a little patch for the seed to be planted. It's full of nutrients and will one day, when the time is right, help this seed sprout and sustain it for future use. It's just a little patch of dirt, but it's our little patch of dirt. Love takes many forms. Love can be a home-cooked meal, a bouquet of flowers. It can also be self-love, love for others, love for the world as a whole. More than just a feeling, there are actions that can be taken. You can quite literally plant the seeds of revolution and hope.
Rage and love together to give the future a chance to fight back if it is indeed needed, and it is always needed. But unfortunately, yes, there is love, love abundant, but there is no rage, there is no anger here. We will have to pray to Yenna the Lonely that in that distant day, when this seed is needed, that love, without rage, will be enough to save us all for tomorrow. We close the book, just for now, there is still such a long ways left to go. There's still so much heart work to attend to if we hope to one day resemble a place one could call a home. Thank you for tuning in to The Heart is a Dungeon for this episode of The Ballad of Heartwork. Let's meet our incredible guests. Ira, I've got a burning question for your hot self. Do you have a name?
Hello, my name is Sam. I am an actual play performer and producer. You can find me all over the internet, everywhere that matters, as Sam Size. I am also the showrunner for Science and Sorcery and Who Hurt You Actual Plays, the channel that brings together sad, melancholy, and rage-filled stories.
And Dog, hello, you're a dog. It's been great to have you. I love to see you. Do you have a name?
Hello, the dog is named whatever it needs to be, but my name is Zoe. I am a voice actor, and sometimes I'm on The Heart is a Dungeon. You can find me at Zotato Potato on all of the interwebs or at my website, zoedeely.card.co, and we are... Is this coming out after Apocalypse World? Okay, we're ending the bit because I don't think I have anything new to plug.
And I'm Ra-Ra, but that's enough about that.